Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass, and 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
It's Friday night in September, Audrey. Where did the summer go?
Yeah, it's a great time of year.
It is. You know what? You get the glint of the sun. The kids are going back to school. Vacations are over. Like, it makes me happy. It means you can start working again.
And then doesn't it make you reminiscent of, like, when you were younger?
Yeah. I hated going back to school when I was a kid, you still kind of loved it in this weird way. But now that I know, now that it's like 50 years later, I can say to myself, no, that was a great time. Like,
you know, I used to have the hardest time for like 20 years.
Okay.
Because I used to go to summer camp for 8 weeks in the summer.
Whoa, so you have to decompress from summer camp.
Even to this day.
Yeah.
I have a pang in my heart.
A pang.
I'm still friends with some of my friends.
I know. You've told me about that.
I mean, those were life-changing experiences.
But let's talk about summer camp real fast, because I think summer camp and Audrey Russo are two things that I don't necessarily always put together in the same sentence.
They don't have it. In New York, we called it sleepaway camp.
Sleepaway camp, right? Because it's like a big deal, because like your
parents came to visit you once.
Once, just to make sure you were still alive.
The whole summer.
Right.
A visiting day. A prescribed day.
Make sure everyone cleaned up real nice.
Scrubbed the camp up.
Yeah, got rid of all the vermin and everything like that.
You get to live with people that come from all over.
Right.
You know, you get to understand, you know, how to be part of a group.
Right. Exactly.
How to be a leader.
Right.
I never would have been exposed to hiking or camping.
Any of that good stuff.
Any of that stuff. Or going on a little rowboat.
Building birdhouses. Right. I remember you one time told me a story about building
birdhouses.
That's what I wanted to ask you about.
So you know, I have a problem.
You were a maker before makers were cool.
I was a maker. I loved my birdhouse, and I loved making stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, you come back from camp where you've got sort of like these new skills, and you get to work on a saw, and, you know, you get to sand, and you learn all this stuff, and then you come home, and you don't have any of that.
Right. And
I had none of that.
You become like...
I wasn't a Girl Scout or a Brownie. My mother refused.
Really?
Yeah.
She didn't want to take you to the meeting.
She didn't want to take us anywhere.
I can't blame her, man.
She was like, no, I'm not schlepping you anywhere.
If I had kids that learned how to play chess by themselves against the computer or
it's
something
the same
like
reason
that.
She wouldn't let me play cello.
Right.
It's too big.
Too big. Can't
too
hold
big
it
an instrument. Not going to fit in anything.
Not going to fit in. Oh, God.
But I think, you know, as a girl,
yeah,
I was never encouraged to make stuff.
You should have been.
I know.
But you kind of were with the camp.
I did, but think about like how I could have developed that avenue to even have had it as another lane in my life.
Exactly.
And I don't have that because it was never really nurtured.
Right. But check this out, Audrey. So I'm so glad we're talking about this, because on today's show, We have Joel Johnson from Boxy stopping by today, and Proto Haven. We'll talk a little about both of those. But the idea now that, like, I mean, the whole maker movement is just massive.
You can actually go somewhere and build stuff.
Right. Or in Boxy's case, you can buy your own 3D, not 3D, but your own digital printing machine and do it yourself. Like, without, I mean, you can set up high-end equipment in your house for a very low cost and really explore where your imagination and your skill set goes. So imagine if you could have, like, been 3D printing birdhouses.
But 3D printing, I liked making anything. The birdhouse was pivotal for me because I made something from nothing and it was functional.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just taking those little...
What did you do with these birdhouses when you were done with them? Did you take them home?
From camp, and my parents were mortified, and I used to hang them. We had a little tree in the backyard.
You had a tree in the backyard.
that's like, really cute. These are New Yorkers.
That's the problem I'm thinking about. So
they're like, really? Okay.
So you're like on Long Island, right? And you got a little tree in your backyard. And there's all these birdhouses hanging from it.
But I just thought...
Did birds ever take up residence in any of these homes?
I think once, maybe. And I think my father was appalled.
It's probably high rent in that part, in that district,
like,
too.
He was like, get out. I'm charging you a fee.
I'm charging you a fee, little birdie.
But think about a young girl trying to make stuff, having no role models, having no one that could encourage you. I mean, when I grew up, my father didn't even own a lawnmower. We didn't
do any of those wasn't the way you did stuff.
We didn't do any of those things. You don't dirty your hands that way.
Right. But your father gave you lots of entrepreneurial skills because he was quite
totally
the entrepreneur in the clothing industry.
No, absolutely.
Like
and it served me well, but... I never had anyone hand over hand helping me.
Right.
Saying, you know, you are pretty creative.
Right.
Let's see what you can make.
It could be a future in birdhouses for you.
I could have been, who knows, right?
Exactly.
Who knows?
Exactly.
And that's what I love about today.
Yeah.
You know, when we see, like, the Girls of Steel and we see people who are doing really amazing things and building robots and really getting down and dirty and understanding the interfaces and understanding how to code,
as
building stuff.
That's gonna be really exciting for you to see that. Then to see that firsthand.
You know, we started 10 years ago at the Tech Council, pulling together this group of girls between the ages of 5 and 8 before they would get to first robotics.
I know.
And we used to do that every Saturday.
We have some of those Lego trophies in our office from some of the competitions that were won over the years.
Seeing young girls between the age, you know, between 5th and 8th grade.
Yeah.
Trying to master this stuff is really incredible.
And those are the formative years for that, too. I mean, that's the time when, if you're going to get somebody into it.
That's when I needed someone to put me in Voc Tech.
Exactly.
But that wasn't cool.
I can start to imagine your path of, if you would have really fully explored the whole...
I think I would have been in, like, construction and design, maybe.
Probably so.
You know? But that wasn't nurtured.
There could be a whole thing in the Smithsonian about birdhouses with your name on it right now. I'm just saying.
I could have built houses. And that's what I love about this rapid transformation of people having access to tools.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk to Joel Johnson.
Yeah, that's great. I'm glad
to
see him.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, we also have Tyler Palco calling.
Oh, nice. Tyler.
Former quarterback, right?
Right.
Pitt.
He's done a lot of things. Yeah. He's a native Pittsburgher. He actually lives in Kansas City now, but he's all over the place. And he's doing some really interesting things. He's been a thought leader in understanding the next generation of workers. I'm not going to put a label on it and say it's the Z generation or the millennials, but he's definitely been a thought leader and a practitioner in helping companies and leaders understand what the new world of work is actually like and what kind of cultures people build and why that matters.
I like it.
And what that means in terms of leadership.
Exciting. I'm glad to get him on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, a guy who's been a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, they learn a lot.
He's about
leadership,
right?
It's all about leadership. And he definitely has that. And it's exciting to see people do, you know, some things that are really having an impact. Because, you know, as you know, you know, most people who are in college today will not have... We have no idea what jobs will be there for them in 4 years.
Kind of scary.
It's fun.
It's scary.
You think it's scary?
Fun is scary. I'm not saying scary in a bad way. Scary in, like, wow, there's lots of opportunities
there. We don't
even
know the names of jobs.
Am I allowed to rib Tyler about why he's not living in Pittsburgh and could be doing much better if he were here?
Well, Tyler has a lot of children right now.
His
wife comes from Kansas City.
Okay. Then
he has young kids.
I can't hassle him. Once his kids are grown up, then we can hassle him again.
Yeah, then you can hassle
him. Come back to Pittsburgh.
I think he's being a good family man.
Gotcha, man. Gotcha. So, Audrey, we've got about a minute or so left. And the one thing about fall means Tech 50 right around the corner, October the 25th at the Wyndham Grand, the 50 fastest growing, most innovative, most provocative, dare I say, tech companies in the Pittsburgh region in the running for top dibs. And Andre, in our next segment, we're going to conjecture a little bit about some of the companies that we have in the running. And we have a new category, AI, artificial intelligence, and robotics is a new category this year for Tech 50. So I'm very excited about it.
I am too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you go to pghtech.org, you can learn all about the finalists. And if you keep your dial tuned, we're going to give you more detail about some of the finalists because there's some great companies that we want you to know all about. So Audrey, we're taking a quick break. We're coming right back. This is Jonathan Kersning.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Once again, learn about us at pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech and Tech 50, October the 25th. It is closer than you think. I promise you we'll be back, Audrey. No messing around. Like, it happens. We come back from break. More Tech Vibe Radio coming your way. And as I was mentioning before, right around the corner, Audrey, is our Tech 50 Awards. October the 25th. The Wyndham. This is like our 22nd year doing Tech 50.
I know. And you know, it's great because
what the heck?
And the categories are hard because one of the things about Pittsburgh that's actually very different than a lot of other cities is that we don't have like one deep sector.
Exactly. We got many cool sectors.
No, but I mean, we cut across. Yeah. Everything.
I know. That's why I think we've been so lucky over the past 35 years.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything kind of mixes
it really
around.
Is. You think about materials,
right.
You think about autonomous vehicles, artificial intelligence, machine learning. All of that has been heavily researched and now percolated into companies.
Exactly.
And so it almost affords the opportunity that if you want to be in Pittsburgh and you want to work almost on anything,
can do
you
it.
You sort of can.
No. Even if you went and built an electronic birdhouse company, you could
do that. You could do anything. I mean, listen, not long ago I was with a company called Near Earth Autonomy. And they're doing really interesting things as well. And in the aerospace industry.
Yep.
I mean, that's a whole other area that's going to be able to blow up for our region.
You think about that and companies like Astrobotic. Like
going to the moon.
Going to the moon. It's like, oh my goodness, it's just crazy. So Tech 50, as you mentioned, we have so many different categories because we don't have one big deep category in Pittsburgh. We have many different categories. And this year, actually, Audrey, we added a new category, as I alluded to just a moment ago. We have artificial intelligence and robotics as our newest category for this year, which I was really excited about because it seems like Pittsburgh's making a ton of headlines internationally when it comes to AI and robotics.
And we were rated the second most livable city, with number one being Honolulu.
What?
Yeah.
When did that
I love these ratings.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
We're
the second best. It's like Phoenix to Honolulu, eh?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, listen, here's the deal.
If only we had a couple beaches.
The thing that I love is just getting exposure.
Right. I like seeing Pittsburgh in the headlines there under positive stuff. So our robotics category this year, Audrey, let's talk about some of the finalists this year. So we have Petuum, Aurora Innovations, and Bossa Nova. Like, these are, what's cool is these are very diverse even within their field here, which I think is kind of interesting.
Well, they're in diverse markets and they're diverse problems.
Exactly. We also have Advanced Robotics for Manufacturing, the ARM Institute, and Rapid Flow Technologies, and Adrich. So let's start with Bossa Nova, a company that's been around for a while, and they've pivoted many times.
They have.
Yeah.
Remember when they started in toys?
Pembo and Primate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Were the two kind of robotic toys that they had.
Yeah, it was great. I remember my dog used to be able to open up the stomach.
The little Pembo and the mini Pembo would come out and would waddle itself out. Right.
And she
forgot
it.
Gracie
so
would go tap.
Gracie would tap and she would get it out.
She'd come out. But they don't do that anymore.
No, no. When you talk about a company that's pivoted, I mean, they've really found their way in the market, really in the market.
Working with Walmart, I believe?
Well, I mean, if you just forget about the companies that they work for, but actually being able to go up and down the aisles to make sure that things are stocked.
Right.
And, looking at all the SKUs and making sure that they're stocked. And it's really hard for humans.
To do that.
To do that work.
Right.
And it's also very repetitive.
Monotonous.
And it also is a lot of bending.
Right.
A lot of picking. You know, doing picking and then, replacing is not necessarily, the best way to use
Exactly.
humans.
Right. Exactly.
And I know people get scared by that. People get scared.
I know,
they're like, oh, Like, you know, some of these jobs are not great jobs.
No, they can create opportunities
right.
for better jobs.
Open up opportunities for better jobs, right.
Exactly. So Bossa Nova in the running as a finalist. Now, what about Aurora Innovation? I mean, geez, come on. That's a fascinating company. I mean, at the end of the day, you're talking about autonomous vehicles here.
Right.
I mean, that's it's a big deal.
I know. The more and more I'm behind the wheel, and I, like you, am a car gal or guy, right?
Yeah, and I've been seeing the Aurora cars around lately, too. There was a while I wasn't seeing too many Aurora cars.
Right, but here's the deal.
Yeah.
It's time for autonomous vehicles.
You wrote something about that one time.
It's time for people...
To get
their hands off the wheel. It's not getting safer.
No, it's not. It's not.
There are more accidents with all the safety features.
I know. I think it just makes us a little more like, hey, it's going to be taken care of. But our lives are so much more busy, so we're multitasking
while
trying to drive. Right, exactly.
And think about all the people that are using phones while they're driving, looking at their GPS.
I just think if people drove the appropriate car, they'd be more into actually driving.
Oh, I see.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I see.
You know?
I'm a car lover,
yeah,
so I get it. But I also get the fact that people driving around with, you know, a ton of steel.
Yeah. Got to be a little...
It's like, a little dangerous.
A little dangerous.
Right.
Absolutely.
Someone's going to laugh at us. For, you know, 100 years from now, they're going to say, remember all those transportation systems and all the deaths? What's with you?
Exactly. So, Audrey, so from robotics to life sciences. So we have a life sciences category this year as well, which I think is really exciting. And our finalists in there are Philips Aerial Precision Medicine Chem Image and Force Devices. So once again, you can see the diversity even within the life sciences category. We have diversity within diversity when it comes to these companies, Audrey.
And I mean, right. And Philips has been now making a move into the city now.
I know. They're going to be moving into East Liberty
right,
in the coming
right behind
year.
Bakery Square two,
yeah.
1 and 2, maybe?
I think so.
I think it's 3.
And they're talking about like 1,000 people or more moving
it's
into
great.
That area, which
it's
I think
great.
Is
And
fantastic.
I got to tell you, when I go to Philips, I'm blown away by the kinds of products that they actually have designed and brought to market.
Yeah.
I can't even.
It's amazing stuff.
It's amazing.
Absolutely.
For everything. Do you have a Philips toothbrush?
Who owns a toothbrush? I don't have a Philips.
An electric toothbrush?
I've got one of those traditional manual style Colgates myself, but I know they make the.
I have the greatest
right.
toothbrush.
You got one of those.
Yeah. With all my dental problems, I thought I might as well invest in
might as well invest in something, right?
Yeah.
Very, very cool. So outside of life science, Audrey, we have so many categories. It's like unbelievable. And we're not going to get to them all because we're going to spread this out over many, many shows. Just to tease you a little bit, that on October 25th, if you get your tickets in time, you can learn all about these companies, mingle with them, celebrate them, because they're all doing such great work. We have a manufacturing category this year, Audrey.
We do.
And
actually, that category is in honor of Kurt J. Lesko.
It is.
Kurt J. Lesko III.
The third. Yeah.
Someone who was a big supporter of the work that we all do here and unfortunately passed away a few years ago. And so we created an award in his name.
I love the fact that we did that because it's great to be able to honor some great work of folks like that. In this category, we have Watt Fuel Cell, which is an amazing company. They've been on the show before. Remember, we had Kane Finnery on the show talking about how they actually digitally print the parts to make fuel cells? Which I think is so exciting. So
that's when we were at the Energy Innovation Institute.
Exactly. And so he's bringing the cost of these things down to where you can actually, through companies like Peoples Gas, put them in your basement and create electricity from natural gas. I think that is really, really, really cool.
Those guys relocated here from New York.
They did. He bought the company. He says, I'm making it happen here. So we've got about a minute left. How about one last category, Audrey, real fast. Let's talk quickly about our CEO category this year.
Oh, right.
Absolutely. So we have, of course, Teresa Huber from Intervalla, really cool manufacturing
right.
company out there making circuit boards and all that kind of great stuff. And Jim Gillespie, he's been on our show as well, too, from Gray Matter.
And we'll have all these people on our show throughout the year.
That's the whole point, man, because these are the men and women that are making it happen here in Pittsburgh. And real fast, the last four in this category are Barbara Van Kirk from IQ Inc., Brendan Carroll from SkyCision, he's a startup entrepreneur, Interface Materials is Noah Snyder. And, of course, we have Jessica Gibson from Aerial Precision Medicine. So, I don't know. I can't wait because, you know, Audrey, this is my favorite time of the year.
I know it is.
It's like the one we get all these folks in one room to celebrate. And it's hard to say we're picking winners on any of these guys because, in my opinion, everyone who's been named a finalist has done some seriously great work. And we're there to honor it and have some fun with it. So, go to pghtech.org. learn all about the finalists there. We got some background on each and every one of them, and register for the event if you can, because it sells out every year, Audrey. Last year we had like close to 700 people. It was pretty amazing. It gets bigger and bigger, so we'll keep it happening.
It's great.
Simple as that. Anyhow, Audrey, we got a lot of tech vibe in front of us. Rumor has it that we have Tyler Palko calling in.
Ah, Tyler.
Yes, he's a good dude. He said he's got a lot of kids right now, so he is busy.
He's got a lot.
He's trying to run a business,
four
too.
Kids under the age of five.
Oh, my goodness.
Leading Solutions 21.
Exactly. So hang on for that one. We'll be right back after this quick break. This is Jonathan Kirstening.
And this is Audrey Russo.
And we are from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Fly on over to Twitter at pghtech. Welcome back, everybody. I am so glad you're spending your Friday night with us here on Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Audrey, I tell you what, man, Friday night, as we were talking about before, you know, it's fall, it's back to school, all the good stuff's kind of going on. And our opening segment, you're talking a bit about Tyler Palko and what he's doing these days. And we got him on the line as promised.
Hey, Tyler.
Hey, hey.
Where are you sitting right now? What city are you in?
Kansas City.
Yeah. So let's just jump in. Let's talk about your work at Solutions 21. Sort of give a high level, and then we're going to dig in a little bit.
Okay. First of all, I appreciate you having me on. So Solutions 21, the Pittsburgh-based firm founded by Buddy Hobart, Pittsburgher from Homestead, graduated from Carnegie Mellon. So started it in 94, kind of evolved and morphed into what we are today. We basically do, you know, three main things. So we do strategic planning. We have kind of a proprietary process that we work with organizations around developing a strategic plan and executing on that. And then we do, consulting projects. So we call them custom problem solving issues. So anything from, you know, processes and procedures to sales, developing sales plans. So we help those organizations develop those custom problem solving issues. And then the last thing, and primarily the big thing that I'm driving, is the leadership development piece. So we help organizations, develop their, future leaders that are going to be in charge of driving the results of business for the next, 20 plus years. So that's a huge issue. I'm sure we'll get dive a little bit more into that, but that's really the main focus of Solutions 21.
So Tyler, I'm sure our listeners are dying to know, how do you go from being, quarterback at Pitt to what you're doing now? Obviously, lots of leadership on as a quarterback. And everything like that. So how do you make that transition from football to what you're doing now with Solutions 21? I think it's such a cool story.
Yeah. After I got done, I was very fortunate enough to play a couple years in the NFL and got a chance to live out my childhood dream. And growing up in Pittsburgh, I'm son of a high school football coach. And I bet you that if Vegas took odds on me becoming a college or NFL coach, they would have been really disappointed because they would have been pretty high odds growing up in that football family.
Absolutely.
But, two things. I mean, I wanted to be able to raise a family. I have a wife and four kids, and we live in Kansas City. And, I knew how much stress that and travel to get to where I wanted to get from coaching. I know that would have not allowed me to see my kids grow up, and that was really important for me to do. So I knew that it was probably a little bit like an addict, that if I got into coaching, I probably would have gone, full.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I just stayed away from the booze type of thing.
Oh, goodness.
But, well, it's good that you know yourself.
Yeah. That's part of being a good leader, right?
You
have to understand yourself.
Absolutely.
But the other part was, I was always fascinated with business. I was always fascinated with, on the golf course, getting a chance to talk to these business owners. When I played in the NFL, I, was fortunate enough to get a chance to, play in a bunch of golf events. And I just was just fascinated. I've always been inquisitive. But how do you recruit top players? I grew up in that environment, right? Mm-hmm. How do you get good players, and how do you develop them? How do you compete against your competition? And I saw a huge gap from what was going on. And I think a lot of it has to do with the generational shift. You can see what's happening in sports as well. I mean, coaches are having to recruit different. They're having to develop players different. The rules have changed. And I think that that's the same thing holds true in business. And I really am fascinated and passionate about helping businesses grow through their people. So that's kind of a long-winded story. But that's kind of how I got here.
I love it.
So talk about the silver tsunami.
Well, just to be clear, Solutions 21 didn't come up with the phrase, so
right.
Just make sure we didn't have like copyright infringement.
No, absolutely.
So basically, the silver tsunami is a phenomenon that, you know, everyone I'm sure can Google what a tsunami is. It's a earthquake or disruption below the ocean surface that continues to build steam, and by the time these waves are present themselves, it's too late and they've wreaked havoc. So basically, that's the tsunami part. And the silver tsunami, the silver part of it comes from the demographic shift that, 10,000 baby boomers retire each day. And there's a 18 million person gap in the United States from the baby boomers leaving and the Gen Xers taking over. So there's a gap. So even if it was a one-for-one, right, every baby boomer left and every Gen Xer took that position, there's still an 18 million person gap.
Wow.
In that. Jeez. So what that will cause is that will cause younger people who are good individual contributors, they will have more opportunities to get put into leadership roles, which is great. But the problem is they haven't had those reps that Gen Xers and baby boomers had for all those years because they just had enough time to do it. But time's not on our side right now. So that's the silver tsunami is a phenomenon that baby boomers exiting the workforce at a rapid rate, and there's not enough Gen Xers to replace them. And so that's kind of the gap that we fill is having working with those organizations and helping them fast forward wisdom and develop those muscle memory habits that are going to present themselves to these folks that haven't led before. So, and then there's a whole big issue that when you're not prepared and you're not efficient in leading teams for the first time, you not only affect your job, but you put everybody that you're leading at risk too. So, I mean, that's a big trickle down effect. And leadership sometimes gets a fluffy, name, but it's very practical. You can draw direct lines to organizations doing well. They have really good leadership and good a leadership bench.
So it's so interesting. In the times that I've spoken with you, Tyler, you've talked about all that you just mentioned before, and obviously the massive shift. And you and I have talked about, we don't even know what the jobs are in 4 years, but we know there are going to be some new iteration of it. But you also talk about leadership and culture and understanding the differences in this generational shift. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, from a high level, I think everybody kind of wraps themselves around, I like to call it like political speak, right? So no matter what happens, what you believe in from a political standpoint, you're going to believe your personal beliefs, right? So that's a no-win situation. And I think sometimes from generational conversation, people are going to say, well, millennials are spoiled, they're lazy, they're entitled, they don't want to work hard, they want an iPad. But for generations, like starting back to the greatest generation, everyone has always looked at younger generations as having it easier than they did. And I think that's just called evolution. Like,
exactly.
I looked at my kids, and my kids, they're 6, 3, 3, and 5 months. Well, the 6-year-old and the 3-year-old have iPads, and they're mine, they're not theirs, but they're on there, playing games and learning their colors and their shapes. They're not playing video games. So if I look at it from a biased perspective, I can say, well, back in my day, we didn't have them. Well, back in my day, I had to have a workbook, and a pencil to draw them. These guys can access it at any time. So I think that metaphor holds true today from a generational shift is that, we're entrenched in a 21st century business landscape where with technology, and you guys know this better than I do, that people, there's no precedent on it. So a guy or a gal that worked 20 years ago in business, they had to be present to access files.
Right.
You don't have to now, right? I mean, so I just think that business is changing so much, and I think that how you lead people in business is constantly evolving and changing as well. So if we don't evolve with the times from the leadership standpoint, we just believe our own biases that you know, young people are you know, they don't want to work hard. I mean, that's just not true. There's enough research behind it that says that's not true. And the other thing is there's 84 million millennials. The 84 million of anything isn't like one way. I mean, mm-hmm. I can tell, I'm right. sure exactly. that there are people, right. baby boomers that work hard and baby boomers that don't. And mm-hmm. Same with Gen right. Xers. So, I mean, I think that that's, you know, that's a little bit you know, ignorant to think that 84 million young people, for some reason, they don't want to work hard. That's just, I don't buy into that.
Exactly. So we've got a couple minutes left, Tyler. If people want to learn more about Solutions 21, where's the best place for them to learn more about all the different types of services that you guys provide?
Obviously, all the platforms. So yeah. Solutions21.com. We have our LinkedIn page and our, you know, we have our Twitter page, our Facebook page, and all that stuff is Solutions21 documented. So that'll be a, you know, pretty easy for them to find it. But there's all the stuff about our flagship program, the Next Leader Now program, is on there. You know, we're working really hard to create a customizable solution for organizations, you know, and all over the world that they can put their high potential folks into and develop them fast and efficient, and most importantly, the way that they want their younger folks to be developed. And that's really the big thing that we're driving right now from our initiatives.
Fantastic stuff. And thanks for taking the time to talk to us. It's just fascinating and just what important stuff that you're working on, and really just encourage everyone to learn more about this. I mean, it's your biggest investment is your people. It's going to lead your company forward, and you got to stay on top of that. And you guys do it. So yeah.
Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. I was told by my dad one time that you can't win without good players. So, you know, I think that's the same.
Exactly way. Right,
definitely,
man.
Definitely true.
Environment, so.
Exactly.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
We appreciate the time. So we're coming right back with more Tech Vibe Radio, I swear. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
And we are from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. You know, Audrey, Tech 50 right around the corner. October 25th. It'll be here before you know it. Be right back after this quick break. Welcome back, everybody. So glad you're dialed into Tech Vibe Radio tonight. And as Audrey, as I mentioned before, we're talking about reminiscing about your birdhouse building days at Sleepaway Camp.
I know. Do you see that? He's so jealous.
I know.
He was one of those little boys that had to stay home.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't go to camp. I was too afraid to go to camp as a kid. It would involve like other people and being
exactly.
Away.
You were overprotected.
Way overprotected, and I'm paying.
And
the
I love your mom.
This day, I know.
I love your mom.
Me too.
She's the mom I never had.
I never went to
but
camp.
I know. But no, Jonathan was a little good boy. I was like a devil.
And
I was like.
Audrey
I was
is,
like a devil. I changed my name to the Sam. Did I tell you that? the first summer I went to camp.
Oh boy, are you serious?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
My name is Sam. I came home, had turtles and salamanders, and my parents were like.
So Audrey, it got me thinking that if back in the day, if you would have had access to a Boxy machine.
Oh my
what
God.
Would have
it would have changed
to
my
you?
Life.
And so lo and
you might be making tech instead of the tech council.
Right.
Totally.
Exactly.
Love that.
Exactly. That's why I'm so pumped to have Joel Johnson here from Boxy talking about what a really cool company that's building these great devices that are allowing people literally to have a tech shop on your desktop. In fact, they kind of have some tech shop stuff through a Protohaven thing they're doing. That's a whole other story we'll get to a little bit later. But anyhow, Joel, welcome to the show, man. We love having you here talking about what you're doing, too, because you make us really proud and excited and happy that you're doing what you're doing here in Pittsburgh.
Thank you. I love being here.
So talk a little bit about Boxy.
What is Boxy these days?
Oh, so I can give kind of a general synopsis of what Boxy is. So you guys are familiar with 3D printing.
Yes.
That's like
yes.
the magical thing
yes.
that builds something out of nowhere. And then you have like CNC milling, which carves something into a three-dimensional shape.
I love those.
Yeah, I love mills. And then they have your laser engraving, laser cutting, which allows you to cut complex shapes with a laser.
Audrey could have laser engraved her birdhouses back in the day.
He's so bad.
It would have said Sam on the side of her birdhouse.
Just make us all birdhouses.
Exactly. She's giving me the bird right now.
You gonna nickname her birdhouse?
Exactly, birdhouse.
Yeah. So basically, what Boxy does is, if you imagine each of those things as a cylinder, right? you take those and then you attach them to something and you can do this in like a few seconds and it transforms that device into that function. So
love it, man.
You have this
so
really
cool.
Robust, industrial grade machine that sits on your desktop, and if you swap in any of those things, it becomes that machine.
Comes that machine. How many different attachments are there available now, different functionalities you can put onto a Boxy?
So there are three right now. You have the milling, the laser engraving, and the 3D printing, of course. But then there are things that people are hacking right now. I know IBM and some other stuff, and some people do like pen plotters and things like that.
Oh, ooh. Really?
So they hack it, so there's more. But we're sticking to like the conventional three. Right.
That's the core stuff, right?
Making capacities.
Gotcha.
And so people can order them now, right?
Yeah, please order them now.
And they can go to Boxy, B-O-X-Z-Y.
Yeah, Boxy.com. Right. And they can order them right now. We just got a whole manufacturing shipment, so we have about 60 in stock before they sell out.
They sell out.
The holidays are right around the corner.
We just sold out, and we just got our order in, and actually it took us 3 months to get our parts back in.
Oh, my.
So
wow,
that was
a little harrowing. Yeah,
for something good that happened,
right? Like we sold too much stuff. Oh my goodness,
that was good.
We need to talk to you about some supply chain management people or something like that. Keep those parts in stock.
Yeah, what I'm really trying to do right now is Boxy is so overbuilt. It is like this phenomenal machine, but manufacturing it is not easy.
Right,
A lot of pieces, a lot of parts,
yeah. Complex.
High precision milled parts.
Right.
Like they are,
it's the most built machine out of anything out there right now. I'm not entirely sure it was a good business decision.
Right.
Like, what was I thinking?
But people are, and customer satisfaction's pretty high.
Oh, yeah. Specifically, so one of the things that we did was we wanted to, even though we're a really small company, one of our biggest goals is to make sure that we're engaging new users. And you can't do that if, one, the machine breaks down every time someone does something wrong, because you have to make a lot of mistakes in order to learn this stuff.
Right.
And you
have
to feel safe making those mistakes. So that's one of the reasons why it's built the way that it is, caged in that quarter inch thick aluminum and having the ball screws. But the other part of that is that, and I think this is one of the things that we get the most positive comments on, is our customer service. We try to make sure everybody knows how to use their machine and can keep running with it, making what they want to make, no matter their experience level.
No matter what they want to make?
No matter what they want to make.
What would you think is one of the craziest things someone's made with a Boxy
that
machine?
That you can say on the air.
No four-letter words.
All right, so I'm sure she was alluding to, like, there's this big debate about guns.
Yeah.
Cover that. But the coolest thing I've seen made on Boxy was, we had this one engineer intern, and he made a chessboard that he milled all the circuit boards, and he 3D printed parts and molds, and he created these crystalline chess pieces.
What?
And when you set them on the board, there was a magnet inside of them, and when they touched the board, the little circuit boards that he created on Boxy caused the light to light up, and so the chessboard lights up where the chess pieces are.
Oh, that's cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Okay. So on the other one, the gun thing. So I love talking about this because this is...
This has been in the news. I mean, this is some crazy stuff where people are now able to digitally print guns.
Yeah, so that's kind of scary in the sense that you're talking about a real problem with a real face, right?
Right.
You're not like, assault weapons aren't a... There are victims associated with having that kind of magnification of force. So obviously, sensible people will be thinking about this topic. Right now, a lot of our customers happen to be gunsmiths, and some people are making fully functioning firearms.
Mm-hmm.
The people I've spoken to are they have businesses making guns usually, very experienced, and they have testing equipment and lots of safety equipment.
Absolutely.
And they know what they're doing. So I don't really have a problem with that side of it. But the big thing that's really fascinating for me is that when you have a machine like Boxy, you're taking you're taking whatever kind of materials you want, from like steel to plastic. There's my sales pitch for Boxy, right? But you're taking whatever material you want and turning it whatever shape you want, right? And so that's all any kind of hardware invention is. The thing, though, is that bits, information that are verbal communications are now, it's hard to distinguish between them and material objects.
Right, right.
So,
right.
For instance, Cody Wilson with his Liberator and the other files that he brought on. I'm not going to say he's a very likable or balanced guy, but what he has done essentially is he has pushed that point through. And basically, he's putting the law kind of to task, bringing it to task and saying, well, how are you going to regulate guns without regulating free speech?
Exactly. It's so like, oh boy, we're getting deep now. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, wait a second, we only have a few minutes left in this segment. We would need hours to talk about that. But it's, but I just find it so interesting that, you know, so you've developed this technology that, I mean, it empowers people to be, express themselves and create things, and this can be all types of things, whether it's a gun or whether it's a light up chessboard.
Yes, and creates, that,
yeah.
People have been asking us where we stand on this. Like, I spoke to a journalist just recently about it, and. While I have concerns that the wrong people get firearms, that should be a concern to everyone.
Of course.
When you get a machine like ours, typically you're pretty creative and you're a little smarter than the average bear, right? And you have something to live for, right? And those people are much less likely to commit a crime of passion or
exactly
go rogue. I mean, it takes forethought and planning and research. And those are not things that you typically associate with somebody who goes...
Poor impulse control.
Yeah, I mean, sociopaths tend to have... This is from my psychology days. They tend to have a couple features, right? Charm is one of them, but the other two are most relevant. They lack empathy, reflexive empathy, which means the ability to detect people's emotions and feel them in a split second. And then they also have a high degree of impulsivity, right? And so
God, I fall for them every time.
I know, Audrey. He just described your perfect man.
I mean, they're fun people.
They're great to have a drink with, but after that, you know.
They're actually researching sociopaths right now because what they want to find out, sociopaths are happy, right? They actually tend to be the most mindful of any group of people.
Huh.
And so they want to.
Yeah,
it's neither here nor there, but like
interesting.
In regards to firearms, I'm not really worried about it. I tend to, Boxy is, you know, our branding's about choices, our philosophy's about choices, right? Freedom, creative freedom. I'm not going to say, hey, I don't think you should make something that you want.
Right? No, it shouldn't be your place. It's like that. You create a great technology that allows people to be creative and to build and create new products and.
Accessible.
Inaccessible.
It is very accessible.
It's really about access.
Speaking of accessibility, I found something funny. I've been haunting Reddit for the first time, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of it's just horrible.
Yeah. But some of it's not.
Yeah. Keep going. Yeah.
One of the points that someone brought up was like, yeah, criminals are going to start suddenly getting boxies and making weapons, right? That's not going to happen.
Wow, you made it through a big Reddit thread?
Jeez, man.
Yeah, I've been paying a lot of attention to Reddit because I have a Kickstarter coming up. And I want to make sure that I have made friends with all the relevant Reddit groups.
There you go.
And that includes libertarian groups.
So, Joel, we've got about 2 minutes left, and you're going to be back on the show in a few weeks because you're part of Proto Haven, which is this huge maker movement thing here in Pittsburgh. Quickly, tell us the pitch for Proto Haven and what they're doing in Wilkinsburg these days. I think this is so cool.
So as far as the value proposition, I'd like to hit that second, right? One of the reasons why I wanted to get on this show so quickly is because... Mm-hmm. Proto Haven is at a point, it's something extremely rare, right? So when you look at maker spaces, they are exceptionally rare just by themselves. Any kind of maker space, right? Open access maker space.
Right.
But Proto Haven is not just one of those rare things. It's something super rare because it has the capacity of Tech Shop. And we all know that Tech Shop was something that was entirely new for
blew Pittsburgh apart. We're like, whoa, Tech Shop in Pittsburgh.
But they failed because they were a for-profit organization that was not very good at integrating themselves into communities that have their own identity, right?
Right.
We are a distinctively Pittsburgh thing. And beyond being a distinctively Pittsburgh thing, we are kind of a crowning jewel that I don't think Pittsburgh knows it has.
Exactly. Right?
We are giving Pittsburgh residents the ability to actually do full-scale manufacturing, to learn how to do it, to learn how to make anything from birdhouses to startups and small businesses.
That's
right?
What I'm talking about, man. So cool.
Jonathan, you and I need to make something.
I know. We should go down there and build something.
Yeah.
Something
we'd like
fun.
We're going to build something. We've been wanting to do that for a decade.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. We've been wanting to do this
for
a long time.
We're going to do it. And it's real close to my house. I could walk there.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So you're close to Boxy Factory, too.
I know.
So
I ride
Boxy
my bike past your place all the time.
Boxy Factory and Proto Haven are right across the railroad tracks.
Yeah,
I live in Edgewood, man. I'm just like, bloop.
Nice.
Right there. Yeah. Simple as that. So anyhow, we're out of time, but Proto Haven, real fast. People learn more about Proto Haven.
Proto Haven is a nonprofit for community good. And we have a whole bunch of tools, 3D printers, CNC mills,
and your
laser
best
cutters.
Website for it.
Just go to protohaven.org.
.org. And of course, boxy.com.
Yeah, and boxy.com.
And we'll
buy a Boxy.
You, and we'll see you in a couple weeks to talk all about Proto Haven. So excited about it.
That would be great. I will see you in a couple weeks.
Perfect. Hey, we're taking off, actually. Our show is done. We'll be back next Friday. This is Jonathan Kersing.
And this is Audrey Russo.
From the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us.
This is Joel Johnson.
Tech-Dark. And Joel Johnson over there, of course. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.